I want to turn to the 11th chapter of Hebrews and read verses 24, 25, and 26. By faith, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God and enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt. For he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. I want to talk about rather. I wanted the young folks to sing the song, I'd rather have Jesus than anything the world affords today, but they didn't have it tonight. So I'll talk about rather anyway. Now, rather means more willingly, preferably, on the contrary, quite conversely. It seems to me that somehow or other, all of us have some distinctive choices, preferences, rathers. And somehow or other, we find the time and the way and the means to do the things that we would rather do. People ordinarily are doing the things they'd rather do and pursuing the course they'd rather pursue, and are living like they'd rather live. It may not be so good, but we'd just rather have it that way. If it isn't so good, we're willing to pay the price to live like we'd rather live, do like we'd rather do. I remember one time when our children were small, all of them small. They were in school, however. And Weldon got kind of bad out of order. So I was giving the other children a little change to buy them some candy when they went to school. Weldon came up for his change. I said, now look here, young man. I said, you haven't been very nice. You didn't behave very good. And I said, I just don't overlook these things and forget about them. So I'm going to have to exercise a little correction on you for the way you behaved. And I says, I'm going to give you your choice. I'll give you your money to get your candy, like the other children, and I'll spank you. Or else I'll not spank you and I won't give you any money. Now you can just have your choice. Well, he didn't like the spanking, but you know how important candy is in a child's life. He studied a little bit and he said, I'll take the spanking. Well, he had his choice and it wasn't so comfortable, but that's what he'd rather do. He was willing to pay that price to get what he wanted. Now, isn't that the way people are? Isn't that the way we are? Don't we live pretty much by that code? If we're living for God, we have to lay aside and forego some other things to have His blessing, but we'd rather have them. We'd rather pay the price to have His blessings. But if we want other things more, we'd just rather have them. We're willing to pay the price of God's blessings to get what we want. Now, when Moses came to years, he grew up in the court of Pharaoh as Pharaoh's daughter's son. And as such, he was an heir to the throne of Egypt. Egypt in Moses' day, take a little view of that and it'll add some emphasis here. Egypt in Moses' day was at the height of its glory. And Egypt had an outstanding, magnificent civilization that had hardly been equaled. Egypt was rich in arts and rich in many ways. And it was a great country in that day. It isn't that now. Take a look at Egypt now and you'd think, well, Moses didn't have much of a decision to make. But in that day he did. But he refused to go along with a status quo and to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter and as such to be an heir to all that splendor and that glory and that magnificence that prevailed in Egypt at that time. Moses was in a high position. Moses was placed in charge of the Egyptian army and was sent to overthrow Nineveh. Nineveh was a chronic thorn in the flesh to Egypt. And Moses was sent with an army over there to put them in their place. That's where he got that woman that Aaron and Miriam contested him about. He went over there and in the bargain, the king gave him his daughter as a wife to seal the terms that they were making. So he was in a high position at the head of the Egyptian army. He had a big decision to make, I would say. But in the face of all of it, he refused to go along with the status quo and chose rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. When Moses made his decision, he decided on what he'd rather do. And his rathers was to suffer affliction. Now that's quite a decision.
Yeah, that's true.
suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy. Now, he had everything that Egypt could afford in the way of luxury and finery and fineness. He had all of that. But he chose rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. By faith, he had a vision, this isn't going to last. This will have an end. The next verse said that he esteemed the reproaches of Christ. Now think of that. Esteemed the reproaches of Christ greater riches than the treasures of Egypt. For he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. By faith he could see a reward that was going to last. Something that would be permanent. And by faith he was made to see this will not be permanent. He spoke of enjoying the pleasures of sin for a season. That's just for a present time. It's by faith he did it. You and I need faith. We need vision. We need spiritual perspective. Amen. We need ability to see things that natural eyes do not see. We need the ability to envision the spiritual and eternal things of God. And to set in store by them. People tell us, some people do, I don't tell people that. But some people tell us that there's no pleasure in sin, but the Bible says there is. But it's just for a season, it doesn't last. We need the ability to discern that this thing that's enticing me now, it won't last.
Amen.
But, contrarywise, here is something that's being offered to me that will last and last and last eternally.
Amen.
The spiritual and eternal things of God.
Yes, to God.
He esteemed the reproaches of Christ greater riches than the treasures of Egypt. And he chose rather to suffer affliction. Now what did that mean? He saw the affliction of the people of God. He knew what was going on down there in Egypt. And the oppression that was on the children of Israel down there. But he cast his lot that way. When he was already secured right over here in this. But he forsook this and cast his lot that way.
Amen.
Choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God. By faith, the Bible said he did that. That's the only way people can make these kind of decisions. Is by faith.
Yes.
I've told you about Brother John Strong. And I was with him several times during one summer that I saw him all through that summer at different meetings just suffering death over and over again. And I spent quite a bit of time with him and I knew how he suffered. And I prayed with him and sang to him and in what little measure I could, I encouraged him all through that summer at different times when I was where he was. But I could see how he was suffering. But later on, after That is all straightened out, and God had healed him, and he was outgoing. I heard him testify. Now, there's a text in the 84th Psalm, verse 10. It said, one day in the courts of the Lord is better than a thousand. Well, now, that doesn't mean that one day in the courts of the Lord is better than a thousand days in the courts of the Lord. That isn't what he's talking about. One translation says one day in God's temple is better than a thousand days anywhere else. One day in the court of the Lord was better to the psalmist than a thousand days outside of his court. Well, what I started to tell you about John Strong, I heard him testify, and he said, I would not trade 5 minutes of my time with Christ for all the years that I spent in sin. Then he says, I'll go you one better than that. You take the 5 minutes I was suffering, the most severe suffering I ever did in my life, and I wouldn't trade you that 5 minutes with Christ for all the years that I spent in sin. And I thought that was a big testimony because I'd seen him suffer death over and over. But in the depth of his sufferings, he said, take that time. And I wouldn't trade you 5 minutes of it for all the years that are spent in sin. Well, the psalmist said, a day in the courts of the Lord is better than a thousand. And folks, my advice to you is that in the courts of the Lord, that's where the blessings shower down. That's where the happiness is. That's where joy abounds. That's where peace is full. That's where victory is. That's where your cup overflows, in the court of the Lord. And anyone who has had some experiences along that line could easily testify that one day like that is worth a thousand outside of that realm. Better than a thousand. Amen. Time means a great deal to the most of us folks. And we're reaching out for every day of life that God sees fit for us to have. But even with time being that important to us, God help us to have a vision that one day with him is better than a thousand away from him. Yes, then the psalmist said, I would rather. Here's a matter of choice again. Preference. And he said, I would rather be a doorkeeper. One translation says, I'd rather sit on the threshold of the temple of God. If you were a doorkeeper, that's a pretty lowly position. But even a doorkeeper that's a good one is much appreciated. And when Christmas time comes in those places where there are doorkeepers and people come and go, if he's a courteous man and he's a helpful man and all, they come by and just shower him with gifts at Christmas time. They appreciate somebody like that. It's a lonely place, but if we fill it well, it's worthwhile.
Yes.
And at least it is in the house of God. It may not be what some folks would consider as important as some other places in the house of God, but it is in the house of God. And what the psalmist is saying to us, he said, I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of the Lord than to dwell in the tents of the wicked. Another translation says, I'd rather sit on the threshold of the temple of God than to dwell in the palaces of wickedness. We have some decisions to make along in life. And our rathers are going to be determined by our faith and the extent of our vision and our spiritual perspective. And this man said, I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of the Lord than to dwell in the tents of wickedness. In the palaces, another translation puts it. Now that's quite a decision again. Between the lowest and the highest. But this man that God endowed with great wisdom and prophetic vision. There's many prophecies in the Psalms. Many accurate prophecies there concerning Jesus. God endowed this man with that vision and that ability. And he made his decision between the lowest and the highest. And I prefer the lowest in the house of God to the highest outside of the house of God. In 2 Peter, the first chapter, in the 10th verse, down to this 10th verse, he has been laying out for us a pattern of life of adding and expanding and increasing in the things of God. And he begins by saying, giving all diligence. That's about verse 5 maybe. Giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue temperance, and to temperance godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. Then he said, if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Then verse 10 says, wherefore the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure, for if ye do these things, ye shall never fall. Another rather. Another choice. Things have a way of trying to fill up our time till little or no time is left for Christian duties and our devotion to God. He's admonishing you and me to rather do this than some of these other things. That's putting their claim in on our time. If you have to let some things go by, don't let it be your time of devotion. And of Christian duties. And of serving God. Don't let it be that. Wherefore the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. Many things seek to claim our attention and to fill our thoughts. But the Apostle Paul admonishes us in 1 Timothy, the 4th chapter and verse 7. He says, refuse profane and old wise fables and exercise thyself rather unto godliness. Another choice. Another preference. Another rather. Refuse the side issues that would hinder you from exercising yourself unto godliness. Let that be your priority. As I mentioned in the beginning, people are going to do the things that they'd rather do. And they will find ways and means to do the things they'd rather do. He's admonishing us to have our rather in this case to exercise ourselves unto godliness. In Deuteronomy, the 30th chapter, in verse 19, he says, I call heaven and earth to record this day against you that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Now that's our choice. That was Moses' choice. That was the psalmist's choice. That was Timothy's choice. And that was the Apostle Peter's choice. And here we have a choice. I call heaven and earth to record a record against you this day that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore choose life that both thou and thy seed may live. You see how important our choice is, life and death involved in it. Blessing and cursings involved in it. Good and evils involved in it. The choice that we make, the course that we follow, the rathers and preferences and priorities that control our lives and lead us in the way we're going. In Philippians, the 1st chapter, verses 21, for a few verses here, Paul says, for to me to live is Christ. Help us first of all to have that purpose of life. Then we can say the rest of it, to die is gain. But we cannot feel assured that dying is gain until we are assured that living is Christ. For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. But if I live in the flesh, this is the fruit of my labor. Yet what I shall choose, I wot not. For I am in a strait betwixt two, having a desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better. Faith sensed that to him. Spiritual vision. He had respect to the recompense of the reward. He looked on ahead to the eternal glory that lay out ahead of him. And he said, it's far better for me to go on and be at home with the Lord and get my crown than it is to stay down here and suffer the things that I'm suffering in this life. He says, I'm in a strait betwixt two, having a desire to depart, to be with Christ, which is far better. Nevertheless, to abide in the flesh is more needful for you. So he made his choice. He made his decision and completely obliterated his personal wishes, his self out of this, put himself clear out of it. And he looked at the needs of the people and the way that God was using him to fulfill the needs and bless the lives of the people. And he said, having this confidence, I know that I shall abide and continue with you all for your furtherance and the joy of faith. It's for you that I'm going to stay, but I'll choose to do that, that I may further you and that I may increase the joy of your faith. That is a decision there. Quite a decision. Many times I've been in contact with people that never suffered near as much as the Apostle Paul was suffering all the time. And the only thing that he had a witness from the Holy Spirit in concerning this was that in everywhere he went, bonds and afflictions awaited him. Just more of the same lay out there ahead all the time. But as I started to say, I've been in contact with people that had not suffered nearly as much as the Apostle Paul had, but they've become weary with it. And become weary with life. And wanted to die. Well, no doubt the Apostle Paul did. He said he did. I have a desire to depart and be with Christ, which is far better. But for you, it's needful that I stay, so I just put myself out in the background. Don't even consider what my desire is. I'm going to stay. That's my choice to further you and to increase the joy of your faith. Here was a man that was all engrossed and involved in the work that he was doing and the service he was rendering for Christ. God was blessing him in that, and he was happy in that. And he was ready to stay a while longer and take all of the gift that the world had to give and the devil had to give in order to continue on in that service a while longer. That was his choice. He decided that. Jesus said, in the 12th chapter of Luke, verse 31, and the verses before this, he has been telling about how the nations of the world seek after the things of the world and food and raiment and shelter and more and more and more. But he's admonishing the children of God to not be like that. He said in this verse 31, but rather seek ye the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added. In other words, if you put me first, your first priority in life, and the kingdom of God and its righteousness, he said in the 6th chapter of Matthew in verse 33, seek ye first the kingdom of God and its righteousness, and these needful things of life will be added to you. God knows we all need food and raiment and shelter, and He says in His Word, don't be worried about that, for your Father knows you have need of these things before you ask Him. But just put the kingdom of God and His righteousness first ahead of every other thing, and you'll get the kingdom of God and all these things too. These things will be added. He said He would supply us. Says the Gentiles seek after these things. Your Father knoweth that ye have need of these things. He isn't telling us that we don't need this. He says He knows that we need this. But He's telling us if we'll seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, He'll see that we have this and the kingdom of God too. In John, the 3rd chapter, and verse 19, we have another little thought here. This is the condemnation, that light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because our deeds are evil. This is a little switch, isn't it? Men would rather have darkness than light. That is, men whose deeds are evil. The condemnation is that light has come. There was no condemnation till light come. Jesus said, if I had not come and done a work, the works among them that I have, they would have had no sin. There'd have been no condemnation. But now they have no cloak for their sin. They have no covering. The light has come and revealed their sin. It's all out in the open. But men love darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil. A while back, somebody was trying to find out why somebody else had gone into a false religion, and they were studying the Bible of that false religion to try to find out what drew this party there. Well, I said, they'll never find it. The party that went into that false religion probably never knew that Bible that well. I said, the way to find what got him there is in your own Bible. Find what he balked at there. Just read in your own Bible. Find what he wasn't willing to accept. And whatever he wasn't willing to accept, that threw him into darkness, and he began to stumble. And this that he got into was just the nearest cave he could run into to hide. It was just there. But the answer's in your own Bible. Not in that one. When people come face to face with truth and light, I'm reminded of a scripture in the Old Testament. It says, before them it is as a garden of Eden, behind them it is as a desolate waste. And I saw this fulfilled just right clear right before my eyes one time. If it hadn't have been so pitiful, it would have been amusing. But that's just the way it is. You take people before light comes to them, before they meet up with the Holy Spirit, and the truth is revealed to their souls, whatever they're in seems to be just wonderful to them. And maybe it is wonderful to them. A Garden of Eden. But you let them come face to face with a Holy Ghost message and God's Word and the truth revealed to their souls and let them balk on that, and God's going to withdraw what blessings they were having. And it's just going to be a desolate waste from then on. And that's the way it is in this world. Light has come and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. And people whose deeds are evil, they don't like to come face to face with God's Word, because it's going to reveal to them that their deeds are evil. And they love their deeds, and they're living like they'd rather live, and they don't want their little playhouse torn up, and they don't want their nest disturbed. So they just avoid the truth. Stay away from it. They don't want to feel condemned. My Uncle Sam Wilson said he went when my grandfather was living over in Arkansas. He held services up on Skylight Mountain. That was a little way out of Cane Hill where he lived. So Uncle Sam was visiting back there one time, and he went up to visit around among the folks up on Skylight Mountain where my grandfather had been preaching to them and telling them the truth. One of them said to him, "Sam," said, "your daddy had just consigned this whole country up here to hell." Well, Uncle Sam says, "How's that?" "Well," says, "he's come up here and preached this gospel to us and said if he hadn't have done that, we might have gotten by on our ignorance. But he said he's preached this gospel to us, and we don't intend to do it, so says he's just consigned all of us to hell." Condemnation had settled down on them folks through the truth that they had come in contact with, the word that had been preached to them. And he said, "This is the condemnation, that light has come into the world and men love darkness rather than light." They made their choice. I've been preaching about choices tonight. Rathers, preferences, priorities. And these people had their priorities and they made their choice to turn down the truth, the light, and to go their own way because their deeds were evil. People are making choices all the time. We all have our preferences and our priorities and our rathers. And we're all finding ways and means to fulfill our rathers in this life. Amen.